The following audio is from Hope Hill Church. To learn more about Hope Hill Church, please visit hopehillchurch.org.
Let's look at Acts chapter 2, verse 42 through 47. We're going to use that as a launch pad into several other passages of Scripture this morning. Join me, Acts chapter 2, 42. And every time you see the word together, I want you to say it out loud. Okay? So let's read. Yeah. Good one there. Yeah, exactly. Holy moly. Okay. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together, and they had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet in the temple courts, and they broke bread in their homes and ate with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. The focus of this series is for us to realize that the church is not just an institution run by a select few. Yes, I'm the pastor here, and it's in a sense my job to be the pastor here. But being the church is not just for me. It is for us to do together. God has called us and is building us as a part of his body. The church is not just one local gathering. Yes, there is something called the local church, and we're to be a part of a local church gathering. But the church has existed from the moment that Christ started it. And here we see the beginning of the church. And yes, there are many different churches with different names and different denominational backgrounds. And there are some churches that believe very differently on some issues. But Jesus Christ established himself as the foundation, the cornerstone of the church. And he raised up these followers, these disciples. And he said, as I prepare to leave, I'm leaving you behind, so that you can go and teach all the things that I've taught you to others, so that not only will you make converts and get people to believe in me, but you will disciple them and teach them. And as the church begins to grow here in the book of Acts is really a capture of the initial starting of the church of Jesus Christ. And here we see what they did initially. They gathered together. They ate together. They lived life together. They worshiped together. They broke bread together. They devoted themselves to the teachings of the apostles, those who saw Christ and walked with him. And that's what we're still called to do. We're called to be a body of people united together, hearing from God, following his Son, spurring on and caring for one another. And that's what God has called us. That's the vision and the heartbeat of Hope Hill Church. And we are looking for those individuals who God is going to want to be a part of this community to get on board, not just to fill a chair and not just to come and listen to somebody teach you occasionally and come and sing some good songs, but really become the hands and feet of Jesus in the community that God has placed us. And today I want us to go on a journey, if you will, seeing from the very beginning that this was always God's plan. And so we're going to look at probably 3, 4, maybe 5 different passages this morning. And I will honor our time together. But I want this to kind of be the foundation for the school year for us. That we are in this together. Whether you believe in church membership or not, God has called us to be together and to be used by him to do his work. And I don't even know why I brought up the word membership, but we'll get into that later as well. So let's look at a few passages of Scripture, and we're going to see just generally how God has always planned to use the people called by him, and then we're going to talk a little bit at the end of what does that look like specifically for us as this local gathering. So let's start by going back towards the beginning. Go to Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12 is really the beginning. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And God had a plan from the beginning that he would not only have this place, but it would be inhabited by a people that he would love, a people that would be in relationship with him, a people that would be in relationship with each other. And if you've been in church long enough, you know the story. We messed it up. We disobeyed. We didn't follow God. Sin entered the world. And from that time till now, we are all born apart from God, sinners. Still children, made by God and pursued by God, but very much apart from him. And until we come to a moment of realizing that our sin has separated us from God, we are not experiencing life the way that he has intended for us to experience it. And so at the beginning, as the people were multiplying and filling the earth, God had a chosen people, a people who he said, I want to use you to help my love be spread around the world. And he called one guy by the name of Abram, whose name was later changed to Abraham, as he became a faithful leader, a faithful father of our church. And so let's look back at Genesis chapter 12. The Lord said to Abram, leave your country, your people, your father's household, and go to a land that I will show you. I, God, will make you, Abram, into a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a what? A blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the people on the earth will be blessed through you. From the very beginning, God has invited us to be a part of his plan, a part of what his mission was about, and that is loving us, a people far from him. And Abram was a guy dedicated to following God, and so much so that Abram had all this land. He had his father's inheritance. He had these people, these livestock, and God said, leave it all behind and go to a land that I will show you. There was no promise except that as you follow me, I will bless you. And in turn, you will be a blessing to all those around and to all the people of the earth. And so it says that Abram got up and he left. He didn't know where he was going initially. He didn't know how he was going to get there. He just knew that God was calling him to do this. In very similar ways, God has given us a calling and a mission. He's called us to be a people that are used by him to go to lands that he will show us. Some of those lands may be a trip to the Pentagon. Some of those lands may be just across the street to a neighbor's yard. But God is constantly calling us to go to a place that he will show us so that we will be a blessing. When was the last time you blessed somebody at the Pentagon? When was the last time you blessed your neighbor? When was the last time you blessed a family member? God has put us here to receive his blessings so that we can be a blessing. And so from the very beginning, from the foundation of the earth, it has been God's plan to love the people that he created. And he has chosen us to be instruments through which that can happen. I want you to flip with me to Jeremiah chapter 29. A lot of us know a verse or two from this passage. What's the most famous verse from Jeremiah 29? Start saying it. What? All of you said the same one. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans not to harm you, but to prosper you. A lot of us know that verse, but we don't know that that verse came after 70 years of obedience. 70 years. God made that promise and said, if you follow me for the next 70 years, I will give you. A lot of us think that if I follow God today, I expect God's blessing tomorrow. Right? Some of us don't realize that sometimes God's blessing doesn't come in our timing. And yet God had a very clear plan. This promise was made to a people, the same people. God called Abraham. Abraham followed and obeyed him. Abraham went and Abraham had children, and those children had children. They became known as the 12 tribes of Israel eventually. And this whole country, this whole people set apart by God to say, you'll be my people, I'll be your God, you follow me. You will be a blessing to the world. People will come to know me through you. And they just were like, over and over again, messing up. And so here, several years have come and gone from Abram to the place where we are now in Jeremiah. And the people of Israel have grown so large, many times turning their back on God, and now they've been taken into captivity. And actually, I'll rephrase that. God has sent them into captivity. And sometimes God sends us into some places for us to have no other place to look but up at him. And here he says, look at Jeremiah 29. Let's actually jump to verse 4 because of time this morning. So this is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says to all those that I carried into exile from Jerusalem into Babylon. God says this to the people who are captive. He says this, build houses there. Now they've been taken away from their land. They've been brought into a place that's not their own. And God says these things, where you are a captive, where you are now placed, where I took you, do these things. Build houses there and settle down. If you're going to build a house, you're probably going to be around a while. If God is telling you to settle down, there's probably something further that God has in store. Build houses and settle down. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Get comfortable. Start to learn what life is going to be like here. He goes on, he says, marry and have sons and daughters. Find wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage so that they too have sons and daughters. Increase in number and do not decrease. So basically, move in. Settle in. I've got a plan for you. Also, verse 7, seek the peace and the prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. Yes, this is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. So God is saying, you know, I've brought you here. Yes, you long to be back in your own place, but I've brought you here. You're now here. I want you living life here. And some of you, you don't want to be here. I mean, like, some of you don't want to be right here right now. But some of you don't want to be in D.C. For years, I knew that God had placed on my heart the calling to plant a church one day. Brandy and I prayed from our days in college together that one day God would allow us to be a part of planting a church. And once we were brought to this area back in 96, 97, I've been praying, God, let me escape Northern Virginia. Let me plant a church anywhere but here. God brought us here. And over time, he showed us, and he told us, you know, get a house, John. Have children. Find some sons for your daughters. I don't know about that one, but God called us here, and he showed us that this is a place that he wants us. And he didn't call us here to rile against this place and to say, man, there's so much sin and corruption. You know, there's a lot of lostness in this area. That's the truth. Recent census shows that about 8% of the people that live in the Northern Virginia area, 8% are Bible-believing Christians. Only 8%. 92% of the people in this area either are atheists or believe in some other religion or other way of life, or view Christianity as kind of the way, but they're not sure that the Bible is really God's word. And only 8% believe that this is the word of God and call themselves followers of Christ. There's a lot of work to be done here. And even though it's difficult, and those of you who have to commute now, I commute right around the corner. Thankfully, I live right there. It's a terrible place to live. It's cost of living, all kinds of things. But God has sent you here for a reason and for a season, maybe. Some of you will be here 6 months. Some of you will be here 6 years. Some of you will die here. Sorry. But God has sent us here to hopefully not soon, But God has sent us here for a reason. He sent those people there for a reason. The reason was to bless the city, to pray for the city. If it prospers, so will you. And that has always been God's call, for us to be his people that extend blessing wherever we are. And together, we're called to do that. God did, and I'll say this carefully, God did not put us on this earth to be happy. Do you hear me? God did not put us on this earth to be happy. God put us on this earth to be a blessing. I know that's hard to swallow for some of you. You're like, wait a minute. I don't know how that drives with me. But the truth is that God has a better, bigger plan than our happiness. And there are many people in this world that are in love with Jesus and are far from happy because everything has been taken from them. The church is more persecuted now in the world than it ever has been in the history of mankind. And there are some people totally sold out to Jesus and in prison because of it. There are people who have lost family members, execution style, because of their belief. But there is joy. And joy is very different than happiness. As we walk in the obedience of God and do what he's called us to do, we will find true happiness, true joy, even in suffering. So I don't want to harp on that too much more, but I want us to hear that God, even in the midst of captivity, has a plan for us. These people were in exile. They were slaves under the Babylonian Empire, and God said, love on those people. Find sons and daughters, build houses, bless the city where you are. Let's look at another passage of scripture. I want to back this up. Paul, Acts chapter 17, said this. Acts chapter 17, again, we're jumped back to kind of that where we started, the beginning of the church. At the very beginning of the church, God said through Jesus, what I've started, I'm now leaving you all behind to continue it. And I want you to spread what I've taught you. I want everyone to know the love of my Father. I want everyone to know that I've died for them in their place, to forgive them of their sins. Go out and share this good news everywhere. In Acts chapter 17, part of a sermon that's being given, I think it's Paul here speaking. Paul says, from one man, God made every nation of men that they should inhabit the whole earth. And he, God, determined the times set for them and the exact places where they should live. Now, I know there's a ton of beliefs on predestination and election and all that. We're not going to argue that this morning. But God has put you here. He determined this time and this place for you to live here for a reason and for a season. God has called you to be together with his body, doing his work and being a blessing. Are you doing that? Do you just attend a Bible study every once in a while so you can check a box? Do you just kind of attend a service every once in a while so that you can say, I did my Christian duty? Or are you being the blessing that God has called you to be? Are you doing what the church is to be doing? Are you being the church that God has called us to be? God has put you here for this time and this season to be doing what he wants you to be doing. What are the things that we're supposed to be doing? I want to really kind of bounce two passages together. Ephesians chapter 2 is the first one I want to look at. Ephesians chapter 2. A lot of us know Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, for by grace you have been saved through faith. It is not something of yourself, but a gift of God so that none of us can boast. What has God saved us for? A lot of us don't keep reading into verse 10. Verse 10 says this, for we are God's workmanship. He has built us. He has put us together. Some of us, he has had to break us first. Most of us, he has had to break us first to put us back together so that we can be shaped by him for what? Created in Christ Jesus to do good works. There are things that God has prepared in advance. before you were even born. If you go to Ephesians chapter 1 and keep reading, before the foundations of the world, God knew you would be sitting in this room today. Before the foundations of the world, God knew that he had a plan for you to be a part of, to be used by him, to spread his love to the rest of this world. There are things he prepared in advance for us to do, to walk according to the love that Christ demonstrated for us when he walked on this earth himself. And he has called us to that same mission. Where do I get that from? Flip with me to our last passage this morning, to the book of 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians, and I'm actually, Austin, I'm going to start reading at verse 14. I told you I think differently last night. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 14. For Christ's love compels us. It should be driving us. If you're not in a place in your life where Christ's love has so taken over your life that you're driven by it, then I want to encourage you to get deeper. Keep praying that God, help me to understand the depth of your love. Jesus, fill every area of my life. Help me if there's anything in my life that is keeping you away, if there's some habit or some way that I live or something that I do that keeps you from filling my life completely with your love, God, help me to remove it. Is the love of Christ compelling you? For Christ's love compels us because we are convinced that one died for all and therefore all died. In Christ, when Christ died on the cross, the scriptures tell us that when we become a follower, a believer of Christ, when we accept his love for us and the way that his blood was shed for us to cleanse us of our sins and to make us new, we die in him. Baptism is a symbol of this death. The scripture says that when we're baptized, we are buried with Christ in his death and we are raised to walk a new life. That's where this whole term being born again came from. Have you been made anew? Did you die with Christ at some point in your life? Is there a point in your life that you know that you died with Christ on the cross and you have been made anew and brought back to life? If you're sitting here today and you're like, I don't know that that ever happened with me. I've kind of always just been a Christian. Guys, there's a point. There should be a point in our life when we died to who we were and we know we were made alive in Christ. Talk about that in a minute. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we should do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come. All of this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ Jesus. And he gave us now the ministry of reconciliation. Leave that there for a minute. What Paul is summarizing here, and what's interesting is that the guy Paul who's doing this talking now is the one who was so far from God. As a man named Saul, he hated Jesus. He wanted to stop everything that Jesus stood for to the point of seeing the followers of Jesus killed. In Acts chapter 6 through 9, we see the stoning of one of the first Christian martyrs, a man named Stephen. And the Bible says that this man, Saul, who's writing these words here, now has a new name. God has a way of changing names for people. This guy, Saul, stood there and cheered on the people who were killing Stephen. Oh, let me hold your coat. You'll get a better windup with that rock. Go ahead and chuck it harder. That was Paul, Saul. And God gets a hold of this man and transforms him from the inside out and says, I am now going to use you. And he wrote 13 books of your Bible are written by this man who was transformed by the power of God. He reconciled Paul in the same way he wants to reconcile all of us. Those of us who were far from God, God's message is that I am here to love you and take you back into my loving arms. And the plan here for this to happen is through us. He gave us this ministry of reconciliation. Our job now is to be together now here on earth, letting people know that God wants to reconcile them to himself. This happens through the ministry of reconciliation. Verse 19 says this, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them, instead giving forgiveness to all who will confess to Christ. Christ says, I will forgive you. I will separate your sins from you as far as the east is from the west. Though your sins be as scarlet, they will be washed as white as snow. Christ, no longer counting men's sins against them, he has committed to us this message of reconciliation. We are therefore, who? Christ's ambassadors. We are the sent ones, called by God, to be used, to be sent by him, to be his ambassadors. As though God were making his appeal through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Verse 21. God made him, Jesus Christ, who knew no sin, to be sin for us in our place, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. The next series is going to be all focused on that we, as the people healed and forgiven by God, are now called to be his ambassadors, to go out and to share our faith with others. This is what we are called to. We are called to be the people of God together, doing the work of God, the mission of God together. Are you on mission? Are you following God? Have you united with other believers and are about the work of God? God is always working in our midst, and he invites us to join him. What does this look like here for us at Hope Hill Church? Well, it looks like us being real with each other. First of all, not hiding behind masks, not showing up, fighting on a car ride in and saying, okay, get it together, we'll continue after church. Okay, it's us being real with each other. Not putting on a fake mask of, yeah, we're Christians, we got it all together, we're good. But being real, walking with each other through the good and the bad, through the tough and the ugly. Being there and enjoying life together, but also lifting each other up in prayer. Wrestling with each other with difficult issues. God has called us to walk this journey together. Iron sharpening iron. Have you ever seen that happen? When iron really is striking iron, there's sparks that fly. And some of you have some sparks flying between you. Hopefully not the one you're sitting right next to. But some of you, you're like, I don't know if I can be in community with that other person. Some of you don't have a choice. God's called you to be in community with them. God has called us to be together. God has called us. We believe that God wants us to, in every area of our life, to glorify him. Scriptures are clear about that. And how our relationships are with each other and what we do, say, think, breathe, everything brings glory to him. And sometimes that stuff is hard. God has also told us to be his hands and feet in this world, and we want to see impact in this world. God says, as I send you and others see your impact in my name, they will come to know me in heaven. And so that's why we'll sometimes shut our doors on a Sunday morning, and we won't have a worship service, but instead we'll go out and we'll worship through service. In October 27th, our doors will be shut here. If you come here, hopefully we'll have a greeter here to say, hey, we're over there. And that morning, we're just going to be blessing our community. There are going to be times when God says, I want you to be used to be a blessing. Actually, all the time, God wants us to do that. But here at Hope Hill Church, we want to not just fill a room a couple hours a week. We want to fill this area. We want to be the kind of church that if this church were to stop and no longer exist, people would notice because they would be hurting. People would notice because they would see a difference and they'd be missing something. We also believe that as God calls us, he wants us to bring transformation. And in this area, there are a lot of people who are very busy doing a lot of good things but are very hurt on the inside. There are a lot of people who are far from God and they have no hope. And God has told us to bring hope. Proverbs 13:12 says, "Hope deferred makes the heart sick." There are people here that are hopeless, that are searching for hope and all the wrong things. But the proverb goes on to say, "But a longing fulfilled is the tree of life, and God has the only hope that will bring true happiness and true joy." And we are here to extend that hope to the world around us. So we do that by feeding families who are without food. We have a food pantry that you can get involved in. There's a box always back there collecting food. We have families that go out to some of the communities around us. We live in this community. I live in this community. But there are communities 5 miles from here where 3 or 4 families are sharing the same home and can barely feed their families one meal a day. Right here in Northern Virginia. And God has called us to build a bridge between those of us who have enough with those who don't have enough. Taking care of one another. Some of you will be fine this year with 3 or 4 different boots to match every outfit you own. And some of the families in this are lucky if they have a good pair of sneakers. And many of you have given shoes, coats, clothing, all kinds of articles through our free sales. Opportunities where we do a gigantic yard sale, but everything is free. And we invite these families to come and to be blessed, to have their needs met. That's what we're about. We're about meeting real needs. But there are also heart issues. Of course, faith is the number one thing. Sin is an issue in all of us. And the only forgiveness there is through Jesus Christ. But some people have emotional and wounds that are deep. And we believe in Christian counseling. And we believe that God is going to help us establish a Christian counseling center in this area. Brandy, my wife, is a licensed therapist. There are several of you that meet with her weekly. There are people that aren't even a part of our church. Her doors would be filled every single hour of every day with the people that are hurting. And some of you have the giftedness to be a good listener, to be someone who would bring hope. We want to raise up some of you to be counselors, to be able to not just share the gospel, but to walk with somebody a step further, a step further. God is calling us to be real, to put Jesus on and become flesh here. And we want to invite you to be a part of that here. We may be in the school building the next 10, 15, 20 years. Hopefully we'll have a lot more setup teams developed if that's true. We're not sure if God's going to give us a stained glass cathedral ever. Actually, I'll be against it. I don't want stained glass. I don't want a cathedral. I always want us to have a place where we can gather together and worship Him. But I wanted that place. If God were to bless us with a place, I'd love for it to be used by the community 7 days a week, possibly as a food closet, a clothing facility, a shelter for those in need. Who knows? God does. And God is beginning to show us how we can be used by Him, people called by Him together to be a blessing. Are you willing to be a part of that here at Hope Hill Church? My hope is that you are. Let's pray. I'm excited for what God has ahead of us because I've been praying about it for 20 years. For the last 3-4 years, many of you have been praying with me. You see glimpses of what's possible. God has called us to many things, and God never calls anyone without enabling them to reach that calling. And we believe great things. We believe that God is going to pour the resources into this body of believers to equip us, enable us to provide the funding and the finances to be able to do all the things that God has called us to do. But it starts with you. It starts with you realizing that you are called to be a part of this togetherness. You are called to be a part of the family of God. And the first step is you realizing, first of all, am I a part of that family? Have I ever opened up my heart and accepted the loving forgiveness of Jesus Christ in my life? Have I ever died to myself and been made anew? You can do that right now. God, I pray right now that if there's somebody here who has never had a moment in their life where they have said, "Yes, Christ, I give my life to you. Yes, Christ, I realize I'm in sin, and I pray that you forgive me of my sin. Come into my life and make me new." Help me to follow you. Help me to realize my place in your family. Help me to realize my place in your mission. And here I am. Send me. God, I pray if there's anyone in this room who has never prayed that prayer, that they would do that right now. Right as they're sitting, God, you hear their heart. You see the thoughts in their mind. And God, they would just come clean before you right now, accepting you as their Savior and Lord, repenting of their sins and asking for forgiveness, and saying, God, okay, let's start anew. Here I am. God, I also pray for those sitting in this room who are here and excited about what you're doing. God, I pray that you give us clarity. There are some people in this room who just aren't sure how you want to use them, whether that's to be leading a ministry area, whether that's to be starting an outreach program, or if that's just to be a part of loving on people who need to be loved on. God, I pray that you show us each our calling, our ways. And I ask that, God, you help us to build one another up. God, I know that for each of us, there are things that will sometimes get in the way of us serving you. And I pray that over these next 10 minutes, God, you'd help us to have some just quietness before you. A time to say, God, is there something in my area that I need to turn from? Is there something in my life that is getting in the way of me giving my whole life completely to you? Help me to get rid of that, to throw that off so that I can pursue you with all I am. God, I pray that as we take these next few moments to hear from you, to reflect on what we've been challenged with this morning, that we would respond in prayer, that we would respond in worship, that we would respond in just giving you our lives and saying, yes, I want to be together, bound to you, called to be your ambassador to reach others, God. And I pray that you raise us up, and you help us to see mighty things done in this area. So as we take these next few moments, I invite you to pray on your own there, to pray with your spouse, a friend. We'll also have prayer teams in the back if you would like someone from our church to pray with you. I'll be up here in front to pray with you as well. If God is touching your heart in any way, shape, or form, respond back to him during this time. I want to encourage you to remember that all of this is only possible because of what Christ did for us. And I invite you to come forward as a child of God. If you are a believer and a part of God's family, I invite you to come forward this morning to take a piece of bread, a symbol of Christ's body broken for us, and that you dip it in this cup of juice, a symbol of Christ's blood shed for us to forgive our sins. And you remember that we now live for Christ because he died for us. I want to invite you to simply respond as God leads you. God, move in our midst. Help us to know our place in your plan. Empower us, move us. In your name we pray.